All right, thank you for being here tonight, and we did have a great Easter Sunday, and I already mentioned on Sunday, and thank you for all of your labor for that. Pray for our teams. I think we have four of our teams, and a lot of the adults are helping them out in New Mexico. I've been checking some of the scores. Some of the younger teams aren't doing so well, but the varsity teams are doing okay. So our goal is for the varsity girls and the guys to both win that tournament. And so we're looking forward to that. And we are excited about Brother Barr being with us. And then the Saturday, a fantastic Saturday for the deaf. And I'm just really excited about that. We are in our series. We're passing out the notes here. Are you the only one passing them out, Joel? Yep. Can we get some help here? Oh, Joel. Joel loves McDonald's. I think you know how I feel about that. And he was walking through the hallway on Monday. He goes, Pastor, I made a decision. I'm going to give up McDonald's. And I thought, amen. He goes, April Fool's. Say, go ahead, die then, all right? Okay, wisdom of avoidance. We are talking about, through the book of Proverbs, specific area. Of course, we understand Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply God's truth to everyday life. And the ability to live God's truth. Proverbs talks in relationship to wisdom about three different people: the wise, the fool, and the simple. The wise wants to learn God's word, and in the area of avoidance, he wants to learn what he should avoid in his life. The fool is the one who ignores and defies God's word, and when it comes to avoidance, he embraces that which God tells him to avoid. The simple is one who doesn't know or understand God's word, so he doesn't know what to avoid. The problem with most Christians is we are really not striving to be wise, to be honest with you. We confuse knowledge and understanding, which are important, with wisdom. Knowledge and understanding are steps to get wisdom. A man named Donald Whitney, he's a writer, he said this about that. He goes, despite our occasional struggles to understand parts of Scripture, understanding isn't our chief problem. Most of Scripture is abundantly clear. Much more often, our difficulty lies in knowing how to apply the clearly understood parts of God's Word to everyday living. In other words, let me boil it down what he's saying. We have a disconnect when it comes to taking what we understand and learn from God's Word and actually doing it on an everyday basis. There's a little phrase there. There's a little statement there in your notes. The reason why applying the Bible to life is so hard is that it requires a change of living. It's not just a process of learning. Understand that. Most people we're far more spiritually speaking educated than our level of living, if that makes sense. And that's not what wisdom really is. If I read the Bible and I study the Bible, I get information. If I take that and I examine my life from that viewpoint, from the information I'm getting, that gives me inspiration. But when I actually live what I'm learning, that is what makes an impact. And so we've been looking at that. We've finished four areas so far. We've talked about avoiding sinful people. We've talked about avoiding specific paths. We've talked about avoiding stern punishments. And last week we finished up avoiding slackening protection. Now today is going to be kind of strike at the heart of really what's wrong with our society. One of the greatest ills of our society. One of the things that causes the most problems. We're going to talk about sensual passion. Avoiding sensual passion. We're going to look at, over the next couple weeks, several portions in Proverbs because it talks much about this. But I want to give you the end result that Proverbs tells us about by way of introduction in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 24. It's talking about the strange woman and trying to get someone to be immoral. It says, hearken now unto me, therefore, O you children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, talking about immorality in essence, and it's in a picture form, and we'll see that later. Look what it says. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Now, I'm not a brain surgeon, but if I read that, God is saying there are some seriously bad consequences when we allow ourselves to get caught up in this nonsense. And by the way, let me just say this about this. We're talking in this, if you want me to just lay it out there, we're talking about all forms of adultery and immorality. They're driving our societies and our world's destruction. It's horrible. This has probably done more damage to our society than we can even understand. Now, I might understand it on a greater, a little bit more level. Being a pastor over the years, I've seen the results, and I've tried to help people to get involved in some of these different things. But it's a bad thing. The results are staggering. Our society has a very casual view of immorality. It's in everything. And by the way, when that's pervasive in a society, it's going to lead to perversion. That's where we're at. As I mentioned Sunday, and it irritates when people are trying to give the president a pass on this. Well, you know, they've kind of had this day over the years. It was on Easter this Sunday for a reason. Transgender Day of Visibility. By the way, they're visible. That was purposeful. You say you shouldn't say that about the president, and John the Baptist shouldn't have told Herod that he was doing wrong. Someone's got to say something. 10 years ago, if you would have said something like, this is just pervasive in our society, people would have laughed at you. By the way, when they changed the definition of marriage, I know we said it here in this church, I said that's not the only thing coming down the pipe. It's going to get worse. Why? Because when a society, I'm getting ahead of myself, but when a society becomes degenerated in this area, they need more and more and more and more. We got to be very careful. Statistics will show it to you. I looked at some statistics, and I've heard all of these. I've looked at, in marriage relationships, depending on which report you choose to believe, and I read several, anywhere from 25 to 40% of marriages experience infidelity, in other words, cheating. And really, the majority of them were around that 35 to 40% range. Now, think about that. And by the way, there are some nationalities, it's almost like accepted. Like, oh, that's just what the guy's going to do. Really? Really? Are we lowering the bar that much? And by the way, here's the sad thing. It's not just men anymore. Although it always did take two to dance. People who marry, now listen to this. Well, you know, I'll just get somebody else and this person's better. Okay. People who have an affair and marry the person they had an affair with, their divorce rate is 75%. When you start a relationship built on distrust and cheating, what do you expect? And our society tries to make it look normal. Even couples who they're not married yet, but they're in a committed relationship heading towards marriage, 44% of them have cheating. What about those that are unmarried? By the age of 20, only 23% of singles are pure. And I'm just going to be honest with you, in the society in which we live, I don't believe that. I believe it's a lot lower, especially with what our school systems are doing now. By marriage, only 10% are pure. What about Christians? One survey said that only half of Christians thought that they should wait until marriage. I wonder why we're messed up. Look at how people dress. We dress so provocatively and modestly, and it's in our entertainment and our advertisement as well. They want to sell everything by By wearing less clothes. By the way, it's in the church too. You have these little, we're never having them. Say, Pastor, I think we should have them. Then go somewhere else. These little worship groups up here. I've been to churches on vacation over the years. I've been to the same church over and over. I saw one church and they added that. A couple years later, I was back there and the ladies were dressed and they were showing way too much. We're not going to have it so you can come up here and live your American Idol fantasy. We're not doing that. But whatever happened, and I'm not saying you need to wear like I said, Jim Vineyard said, ladies, if you knew how guys thought, you wear a blanket, right? But we're just lowering the bar everywhere. Check the average Christian. Look at their social media. Look what they post. And by the way, that's why I jumped off of Instagram. I just don't want to see it anymore. I want to come to church with a good spirit. Say, Pastor, it sounds like you don't have one. I did earlier. What about pornography? 60 to 70% of people have watched pornography. And I can tell you as a pastor, that does not shock me. And now we take this snowball that's going down the hill and it's collecting and it's getting bigger and bigger, and now it's a political. And you know all about that. Transgender people can use a restroom or any gym they want, any locker room they want. You know, Planet Fitness, and praise the Lord, they lost like $400 million in stock. They decided to let men into the ladies' locker room. And when someone said something about it, they kicked them out of the gym. Oh, by the way, in the last couple of weeks, they've caught men going into the ladies' locker room doing bad things. We don't take care of our children. By the way, that's where this started. It started in the school system. We want to open the bathrooms for everybody. What are we thinking? No self-respecting person with a brain that actually functions would think that's okay. Immoral, but these guys that now want to pretend they're women and do sports. There was one, and he said he's a she, which he's not, and playing volleyball and girls, injured several girls because he hits the ball so hard. He just got suspended because he was making immoral comments towards the girls he was in the locker room changing clothes with. It's all a sham. Okay, this isn't going real well. By the way, it started with Target, right? We'll let anybody in the bathrooms. And I'm not telling you have to do this, but when they did that, I quit shopping there and I've not went back. And that's been probably 5 or 6 years. You can't, I get it. I know every store you can't do that, but when someone's the first one to jump out and say we're going to do it when it's not a law, you got to do something. There's two of you with me. Appreciate it. And now, and I'm telling you, this is where it's going. It's going to get worse and worse. Now, pedophilia is going to be okay. And I won't go into the stuff online about our politicians, although I don't trust them as far as you can spit. But I saw a video of a senator making a halfway excuse for these people, and they don't call them pedophiles anymore. You've heard the new phrase, right? Minor attracted persons. What did Jesus say if you offend a child? Is it better that a millstone was around? That's just offending a child. Look what we're doing to them. Our school systems. They're targeting our children with immorality and the alphabet soup people. And you may not know, but I've not seen it, but you have to be careful with it. There are pornographic books targeting 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds in the school libraries. I've seen multiple videos of people at school board meetings and city council meetings that get up in the meetings and say, I want to read from a book in my child's school library. And when they start to read the book, they turn their microphone off and tell them they quit talking because it's dirty. But yet that's the book in their first grade library. Our society is just out of control. Now here's the point I'm making. We can't control all that, but we ought to open our mouths. But we must be on guard in our own lives and for our own families and our own church. Okay, we're trying to reach this world. But see, what happens is when the world goes goofy in an area, it starts to creep into the church and it takes people down, right? You gotta be careful, you know? And by the way, we can't give into that. And by the way, evangelical Christianity is given into that. Well, we have a ministry for gay Christians. Like, we're gonna have a ministry for drunk Christians? What are we doing here? Well, it's unloving to say something. No, it isn't, it's biblical. Because you can't, listen to me, I'm really getting it off here, but pray for me. You can't help somebody. Now listen, if you're not willing to point out the truth to them. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, but a person, if I got up here and said, you know what, I believe I'm an eagle. I hope you wouldn't affirm that. I hope you say, Pastor's got some things going on he needs help with. But if I got up here and said I'm a girl with not a lot of hair, okay, you now society has to affirm that. No, there's something wrong. There's somebody that needs some help. And if we don't point out the obvious. So where did this all start? Well, it started down the pike, but I'm just going to be honest with you and then we'll move on. One of the places it got its start was in our families. The destruction of the family. God ordained a family was a mother and a father married together with their children. And when I say mother and father, I mean someone who's not a birthing person, but is a biological female and a biological male that are married and they have a family and they work together. See, that kills a society. When we decided to ditch that, all kinds of stuff. Now we have all kinds of nonsense. I feel sorry for children growing up nowadays. They go to public school, they're fed this nonsense over and over, and then many of them come home and they don't even have a cohesive family unit. You know, moms and dads have problems. Mothers want to act like they're single. They want to live the life. They're acting and dressing like they're teenagers. What are we teaching our daughters about morality? When a mother's like that, what are you teaching your child about respect for women? Dads abandon their children. You know, look, guys, the ones who are the most susceptible to this are girls. And I'm going to tell you who gets picked off by the world. Girls who don't have a dad. I'm just telling you. You're important in their life. They're going to have a guy in their life. They're going to have a guy in their life. It just needs to be you. I guarantee it. I don't know the studies. I should look it up. But any woman that's involved in any type of pornography, I guarantee you 99% of them either did not have a father in their life or they had no relationship with their father. Dads were important. Then we pass on to our sons, if we're not the father we should be, an example of selfishness and a lack of restraint. Now, let's get back to the study here. I just want us to understand that the reason we need to talk about these type of things is to be careful. Let's not let it ruin us, okay? When it comes to this, now we're back to the notes, so if you checked out for a few minutes, get out of the elevator and get back on the floor. When it comes to this, Jesus raised the bar on what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Right? You know, thou shalt not commit adultery. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Look what he said. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her in his heart, and lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You understand what he's saying? He's raising the bar. Don't even allow those thoughts about a woman in your mind. By the way, we already know that. We've taught it here. Whatever starts in the mind that we allow to germinate and take root is going to eventually come out in our actions. And Jesus said, don't even think like that. And by the way, I'm going to say this, you have to fight it, guys. right? We have to look the other way, all right? You drive down the road, there's billboards, gotta, you know, unfortunately, everywhere you go, and I know it's hard to believe because we have another storm coming. I think we're gonna get a 1/12 of an inch rain, but summer's gonna come, and it's just, you gotta be careful. And we're gonna go through some steps to help us. What is Jesus saying? It's not just the action, but thinking about the action. You know, pornography is the scourge of our time. I'm gonna tell you why. Because of technology, right? If you're not 30 maybe, I don't know. You don't understand how it used to be. When we grew up, if we wanted to see pornography, we couldn't just go see pornography. It wasn't around. You know where it was? It was in some little goofy establishment with no windows. And you had to go in there. And they'd sign, you know, you got to be an adult. And there, no one wanted to go in there. They were embarrassed about it. Now you can do it on your phone. Right? I mean, it's there. And so you got to be really careful. And it literally does become an addiction. I believe it's one of the strongest addictions that's around. So, what does Proverbs say about this? Well, let me just say this. It says a lot. Okay? Look at the verses. Let's start in Proverbs chapter number 5. He says, "For the lips of a strange woman," and we'll go through these verses, "for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house." Now, he's given an illustration here, and when we're talking about this, don't just think about men because they're talking about a strange woman, okay? Let's apply it to everybody, all right? Here's the easiest definition of a strange woman. Are you ready? Anyone who is not your spouse. Not saying all women are strange, okay? Although, you know, you could make an argument. But anybody who's not your spouse. Strange woman, and not yours. The only one that's yours is your spouse. And he talks about how you get fooled into this. Look at the little thing there. Don't be fooled by the sweet talk, right? Honeycomb, speaks like a honeycomb. Honeycomb is sweet, you know. And guys, you're like an ox headed to the slaughter. Oh, she's talking sweet to me. Yeah, and you know what they do before they cut the cow's head off? It's like, come on, walk with me. It's all good. Just right inside that door. Okay. Really sweet. Wow, you look nice today. Well, duh, I look nice every day. You know? Be careful about that. You know? They're like, believe it or not, guys, and some of you, we look in the mirror, it's like, really? Yeah, I mean, some ladies are blind. Thanks for catching that. Don't be taken in by the passive pressure. Smooth as oil, right? It gets you not to think about it. It's just like, well, you know, it's, you know, woo. Like a salesman. Be very careful. You know how affairs and immorality start with getting too comfortable with each other. Here's what ladies will say. You know that, he just understands me. My husband doesn't get me anymore. I know it's because you're psychotic. No, kidding. No, this guy is trying to get you. And once he gets you, guess what he's going to act like? Your husband. Come on now. Just, well, you know, here. We're just friends. Guys and girls aren't friends. By the way, if a guy can legitimately be best friend with a girl, he might have some issues. Let's be very careful about that. You don't need to be friends. There's got to be friendly. You know what I'm saying about, right? But be very careful. You start talking to somebody at work. No, people that are like that know what to say. That's why I'm nothing, but maybe if I was, I'm not going to counsel ladies. They'll get a shot, right? They want to keep talking, they'll talk to my wife, you know? And sometimes people don't get that because they don't have anything on their mind. When lady asked about why can't, if I have a question, I can come to you. And my wife and I met with her and she had no intentions, nothing. But she's just like, I taught the philosophy. Around here, we just go overboard to be careful. So it's like, okay, I get that. You just got to be careful. You hear about it all the time. And by the way, it's Baptist. It's not just Baptist. It's worse than the other ones. Trust me. It's all the time. It's in the Bible. Because they're not careful. And if I look at someone like David and think, man, he could mess up. And I couldn't mess up? And you couldn't mess up? Yeah, you can. That's why we have to be so very, very careful. So there's some things we should do to help us. I'll go for about 10 minutes and we're done. First of all, consider the end. Consider the end. You know, she talks like honeycomb and her lips are like as smooth as oil. All things that play to a guy's ego. But look at verse 4. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. That sounds painful. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. It's amazing what people will forfeit for the gratification of a moment. They give up everything. For what? And you know what happens? You don't realize it till later. I read the story recently in the Bible reading of Amnon. And he loved Tamar, his half-sister. And a buddy of his gave him a plan how he could be immoral with her. And she had no fault in it. But it's like as soon as he was done with it, it's like, just get her out of here. I don't want to see her anymore. I know it's called guilt. It's called all that stuff. And by the way, he paid for it with his life. And so we have to look. If I allow myself to get caught up in this, what are the consequences? If you're married, you can lose your marriage. You could wreck your children. No, you will wreck your children. You'll ruin your own life. And by the way, once you start down that path, you cannot determine how far you can go or when you'll stop. Sometimes you don't. And so be very, very careful. Look at the end. What am I giving up here for this idiotic moment of passion? That is how lust works. I think it's in your notes. It focuses on the supposed pleasure, not the sure payoff. There's always a payoff with sin, and it's worse. What happened to David? David, when he got his punishment was fourfold. He went through a lot because he wasn't careful. Samson lost his life, had to give his life. He lost his dignity. He lost his eye, all of it because he wasn't careful. So be careful. Consider the end. Next, stay far away. Stay far away. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. You know, we want to get as close as we can because it feeds us. You know, he's paying me attention. He's not your husband. You say, well, Pastor, what about us singles? You're not supposed to touch anybody until you get married anyhow. We'll get to you in a little bit. Okay? But you know, we want to get as close as we can. We like to hear it. You know? And by the way, once you get close and the emotions get involved, your mind is all skewed. You got to be very careful. That's avoidance. You should never get close to anybody of the opposite sex if you are not their spouse. Well, you know, there's just somebody at work and we have to work a little bit together and they've just been kind of nosing around. Tell them to get lost. You don't let that go. Well, you know, somebody, you know, it was just a work email and the guy just kind of said something that was, you know, a little bit out there, but, you know, tell him, hey, I'll forward this to my husband. I don't have to tell you. He said, but Pastor, I don't want to be rude to this person. They're trying to ruin your life. Okay? And you just, this whole thing, just stay as far away as possible. You say, Pastor, how do you overcome temptation? I'll tell you the best way. Don't get near it. Right? That's like saying, I'm on a diet, so I'm going to go down to the cake shop. No. Because if I go down to the cake shop, I'm going to eat cake. Be very careful. Stay away. Next, follow the light. Follow the light. Look what it says. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Say, what is that talking about? The Bible's a lamp. The ball. We already know that. But what is it in the context of? It's in the context of being pure. Number four, verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. Flattery is when you say what you know will get results. Doesn't have to be true, right? Be very careful. How can we see all this stuff? And how can we, you know, see the end of the matter? Be immersed in Scripture. By the way, if you want to study, just, and we're looking at part of it, there are all parts of it in Proverbs, and it'll scare you crazy, it's silly. You'll be very careful. Why is? The Scripture is a light which exposes the darkness. Once exposed, it can be avoided. Light's very helpful. We've all done it. You wake up in the middle of the night, you got to use a restroom or get, you know, drink of water. Or if you're in that time of life, you know, go down to the refrigerator and get a little midnight snack, whatever. And you don't turn the light on. You know, especially if you're married, you don't want to wake your spouse up. So what happens? We have, our room is, we have a bed and it has like a metal frame at the end. I don't know how many times I have hit my toes on that bed. I mean, I can't count them. And every time, and you know that hurt, that hurts. And I'm like, how do I keep doing this? I know where it is. It's right there. It's so bad now, I do it even when the light's on. But it's like, you can't see and you run into something. But you know what happens? Light exposes. See? When you think, if you're in the darkness, you're not in the Scripture, somebody says something, oh, she's cute, he's handsome, blah, blah, blah. But the light of Scripture's like, bad things are coming. I better walk circumspectly. Last one, and then we'll stop here. Control your desires. Control your desires. Lust not after her beauty, where? In thine heart. That's where it starts. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Oh, okay, come on. The smooth talk and, you know, like, it's like, look, if a girl ever does that to you, say, did you get something in your eye? Because if you got some Visine, I'm pretty sure that would help. Okay? Be very careful. Just control. When, if you feel something or you feel like there's something going on there, back away. Years ago, I don't even remember who wrote it. I was reading an article. And a pastor was he said he was in the foyer after church and he's shaking people's hands, and this one newer lady, he said she was real pretty, real beautiful, and she shook his hand and she lingered for a minute and talked to him, and as soon as she walked away, he called one of his assistant pastors and said, if you ever see her near me again, come interfere. I'm staying away from her. He just sent something. And he's like, not happening. You know it. Come on, you know it. The feelings you had for your spouse when you first met them. That starts to kick in. Something's wrong. You've been letting yourself get too close. You ought to stay as far away as you can. Don't let your desires, because here's what happened. How do you do that? You do that by watching what you feed your heart. You can't lust after her beauty if you're not focused on it. She's pretty. Move on. Right? Okay? Just move on. But when you linger, you can't control what comes before your eyes one time, right? But you can control whether it comes 2, 3. You can control that. And by the way, ladies know what to do to catch you. Let me say this, ladies. If you're fishing for a guy by showing yourself, that's really bad bait. I shouldn't say this because this is really, really bad. But have you ever went fishing for catfish? They're bottom feeders. Lloyd, Juanita's husband, he took us out here to Anaheim. It was some lake, and he had an advertisement. It showed, like, catch a catfish, and they were, like, this big. We went there. We just stalked it. We were there for 2 hours. We didn't even get a bite. They lied to us. But anyhow, but the bait for that, I'm not even going to tell you what it smells like. It's bad. It's bad. Don't breathe when you put it on the hook. That's what they're attracted to. So go ahead, ladies, show yourself, and you know what you're going to catch? Catfish. You're going to catch a bottom feeder. Be very, very careful. Job knew this, and we're done. Look at this verse, and let's parse it. We have in the past. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes, binding agreement. So what agreement will we make with our eyes? I'm not going to look at that which is wrong. What does it say? Why then should I think upon a maid? Job knew that if he allowed his eyes to wander, that his thoughts would wander. Because that's what happens. And guys and girls, men are motivated by sight. I don't know the statistics of pornography, but I guarantee you this. It's probably about 100% men that look at that stuff. It's not women. Women could care less. We're motivated by sight. And so if we're not careful and we allow our eyes to linger on things, it's going to get up here. And over a slow process of time, what happens? You're going to get worse and worse and worse, and you're going to get led down that road. Well, I think it was Bob Jones that said, behind every tragedy of human character was a slow process of, anybody remember? Wicked thinking. Because it starts here. And so I'm just saying it's worth the effort to guard ourselves. Because if I'm an adult, I am, and you're an adult, you can't guard your family or anything else if you're not guarding yourself. And so don't fall for this. And by the way, there's a reason why this is such an effective tool of Satan, because it is something that mankind struggles with. That's why we got to be careful. Having a weakness doesn't mean you're going to fall. But if you want to be strong, understand what your weakness is and set up protections so that you don't fall to your weakness. We talked about those last week. Let's end with that. Let's stand together tonight. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to help us. We live in a society, it's just thrown at us every single day, but we don't have to fall prey to it. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Word of God, Lord. And this is such a difficult area. And all of us need to have our protections up, and we need to be careful, Lord. Because the reward of defeating this in our life is so far greater than giving in. It's not even close in comparison. And Lord, bless us now. Be with us. Give us a safe trip home and be with us until we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.